live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back, the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. And we continue to have unbelievable celebrities. And I'm so interested in interviewing her, especially I was a huge fan of her father when he played for the Jets and stuff. So I guess that's dating me that I'm in my 40s. But I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity model, reality TV star, actress, Brittany Gastineau. Brittany, thanks for calling and how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
I'm excited to have you on the program, and this will be unlike any interview you've had in your career, you know, from all the different things, from the quick 2-minute sound bites, because I'm really going to focus on something that maybe some people forget to ask you, questions about really who you are, especially growing up in different things, so and then also promoting your projects. But the first situation talk about is growing up in a celebrity family, especially your father and stuff, and how you dealt with that when you're at a young age. Tell me a little bit about that. Yeah,
I think it was really hard. And people always now, you know, ask me, oh, you know, how was it, you know, growing up with, you know, being on in reality TV? And I was like, well, before being in reality, you know, I grew up, I was kind of born into it with my dad being, you know, a really big famous football player and my mom being a model. So I started off at birth being born into it. So I kind of, you know, it was definitely difficult when they got divorced and having a high profile family that was going through divorce and being at a young age. So I kind of have been a survivor at a very young age.
A survivor for sure. And so interesting when you say, for our listeners out there to understand that Mark Gastineau was one of the best pass rushers in the NFL when he played for the Jets, but I didn't know about your mother in certain ways. So your mother was a supermodel when you so that's, they met each other and then had you. So going through that time when they were married, how was it? I mean, especially when you got two traveling people that are constantly working and being able to handle the situations of going from one place to the next and from one situation to the next, for sure.
I kind of, you know, I don't really know any different. So I guess it was normal, you know. My mom was, a big model and then got into jewelry and she started her own jewelry line, and you know, we've always been entrepreneurs and always had just women, you know, from my grandmother being a dentist, like everyone was just, I grew up with really strong women, and you know, they taught me to be a young entrepreneur at a young age.
And at a young age. So how did you understand that? So they just explained to you of how you brand yourself and market yourself?
Yeah, like never depend on a man at a young age because you never know what's going to happen. Never depend on a man. And kind of, so, you know, I started modeling at, I guess, I started modeling when I was 3 and then I took a break and then I started back when I was 15. So I guess I was making money when I was at a young, you know, at 15 years old. And then I went to college. And then when I went to college, I got my reality TV show. So I kind of, you know, have always been making money at a young age.
And that's the interesting part about it. You had to grow up fast. Did you go when you were going in I guess elementary school and things like that? Did they know who you were and you kind of even had that kind of spotlight on you as well when you were living in New York? Tell us a little bit about that.
I did, and that was really difficult for me. Because that's when my parents were going through divorce, and kids can be really, really evil. And there's like a lot of bullying, and parents, you know, and it obviously stems from the parents, because how would a child know about, you know, how would a child know about a, you know, a public divorce? So you know, the parents like need to like really, I think it's the parents' job to teach their kids, you know, not to bully and it's not right. And that's definitely a big, that's a big issue for me.
So were you bullied when you were going to school at all?
Yeah, for sure. I was.
And how did you handle that? Especially, you know, feeling that, because again, you are kind of in the background compared to your father and mother, and you're being bullied. It kind of made you awful. My daughter goes through it sometimes as well, and she's in fourth grade. I have five kids of my own, and it's a tough situation how you handle it as a parent.
Really hard,
and especially as the kid. Yeah.
You know, thank God I had great family. My mom and my grandparents were there for me, and they kind of just, you know. It's, you know, what do you tell a kid? Like, you just have to like tell them, you know, don't listen to them. You know, it's really, but like I said, it's more than the kids. It's the parents' job. And I feel like parents really need to be more proactive and really, you know, not tolerate that kind of like, you know, they really need to, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. No. And they really need to teach their kids to be,
right,
you know, loving and,
yes,
and behaved.
It would be interesting to know the ones that bullied you now, seeing where you are today. They would probably,
oh my,
like,
God, it's so funny. You know, and it's funny that you say that, because I know, like, probably on social media and all of this, you know, I get a lot of haters and I get a lot of things. And I guarantee you that the majority of the haters that I get are probably someone that I know that, you know, either I went to high school with or I went to, you know, elementary with. And they're just like hating. They're like, I can't believe she got, you know, where she is now. It definitely stems from someone, you know.
No, I agree. and it's where you are today, and looking at myself and the social media crowd I have and stuff like that, and understanding things and people talking to me and saying, where are you today? You were not talkative in high school. Now you're this big talker who tutors kids and works with all these people and are a mover and a shaker, and you weren't that in your shadow. And I was a shadow, being 6'9" and really feeling out of place in school.
Mm-hmm.
And it took time till I was a professional wrestler to finally find my niche. And then when I went into entertainment, that's kind of how I became who I was. And again, we're talking to Brittany Gastineau, and I'm having a blast understanding this, learning this process. So do you think once you became a model that you kind of then built more of a head on your shoulders in high school after what you dealt with when you were younger?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I definitely think that made me more independent. I kind of had to really find out who I was at a young age. And I feel like, you know, going on castings and, you know, I didn't get booked because I was who I was. Like, people didn't even know, you know, like, I was booked just as Brit. So that definitely, you know, also helped, because I wasn't going in as, you know, as young and being a, you know, daughter of. I was doing it all on my own.
You had that aspiration and career, and you understood, and you watched the careers of both your father and mother and said, I'm going to look at this. I'm going to model these things. I'm going to see what they did and try to do it on your own. And that's fantastic that you wanted to do that. You didn't want it to be where you just got this casting gig because who your mom made a call or your dad made a call. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny. Yeah, definitely. I definitely didn't get any phone calls made for me because of my parents. But, you know, it's funny. I was listening. I was watching. I was on Instagram and I was looking at Puff Daddy, and he was talking about how, you know, he has the same amount of hours that everybody else in the world does.
Yeah.
And it's true, you know, and it's, we all have the same amount of hours, and it's like, you have to really devote your time and what you want to do. And we have the same amount of time. We all have, you know, it's just figuring out like what you want to do.
Exactly. And that's figuring it out. So once you became a model, then the other big deal that came was the reality television show, which again, they brought up, that's it. And so, oh, that brings you with the Kardashians? Because you had a reality show, then that's when you developed your whole persona, not knowing your history that we are talking about today, but being involved in a reality show. That's interesting, because I've talked to many Real Housewives, and they've told me stories and different other reality shows, and it's just interesting how you're portrayed on camera. And then when this happens, did you expect your life to change in certain ways, and how people perceived you after that, after the show?
Yeah, everyone has an opinion, and you know, it's just, you gotta, you know, keep your head focused and not listen to like the negative. And the reality, I loved, you know, the reality TV show, but it did, we were the first, so we kind of really didn't know what was going on. Everyone would say like, oh, you're doing a reality show on what? We'd be like, well, we don't really know. So, you know, it's, being the first is always interesting, because now you look, and I make a joke, and I'm like, I'd rather be the last than the first, because you get to see what everyone has done, and you get to see all the wrong things that they did and all these things, and like, and then you get to do it better. Like, I don't want to be the first anymore. That's already passed, but you know, yeah, definitely a lot of people had opinions on, oh, she's just spoiled, and you know, she grew up this way. Meanwhile, they didn't know that I've been like working since I was 15. So like,
but come on now, you know how many people are misunderstood, and you know how many people would understand really knowing Brit, like I'm trying to learn Brit right now, that you don't get the opportunity to do in this day and age, because it's all about what is the shocking thing to talk about right now, instead of really, we're all the same in so many ways. It's just we were placed in a certain path in our lives, and we deal with it. And things can change so dramatically in someone's life where, you know, they're not in the spotlight, and bam, they're put in the spotlight. And how do they handle it? And you, throughout your life, you've dealt with this. So it is what it is in so many ways. And then you went on to do another reality television show, and from there did a lot of other different appearances and different things. But now you have a lot of interesting projects going on. The one I wanted to touch upon, I guess, is your blog. And then also you are doing a kind of a TV type of show as well, where you interview celebrities, kind of like what I'm trying to do when I have celebrities on, but you know them very well. So that's an interesting thing. So tell us first about your blog, and then some more about what you're doing specifically with the web series and stuff like that, for sure.
Yeah. Well, the blog I started, you know, everyone now, I think a lot of people are starting blogs, and I started it out like, I think 6 years ago, before blogs or even blogs. And, you know, it's called Eye on Glam, and it's just about, you know, I love glamour, and I actually love old Hollywood glamour, like Sophia Loren, and I love, you know, knowing the latest makeup tricks and the latest, the up-to-date kind of everything in fashion. And so I started this blog, and I said, you know, I have so many celebrity friends, and why not, if I'm going out, why not give my readers a sneak peek into, you know, this kind of life? Because they would love to know what's going on in, let's say, you know, Kim Kardashian's closet or Lala Anthony's, you know, closet. And I just started at this, and it really has been successful. And I actually love now interviewing instead of me, you know, I'm being interviewed right now, but I love interviewing and getting to know, you know, more about how people, my friends especially, have gotten successful.
And that's interesting. And when you learn from those people, and that's where I get the opportunity to talk to so many successful people, and they all have certain humble qualities that people don't understand. I mean, I was interviewing T.O. last week, and I was absolutely blown away by Terrell's other side that we saw in the media.
I know him. He's a great person.
Yeah, and his publicist is awesome, Alvina. I don't know if you ever met her before, but yeah, so it was interesting when we were talking, T.O. and I, and learning that stuff and learning about, so everyone has a story. We all are placed in the spotlight, and everyone wants to dig dirt. So I think that this is interesting for you. You're getting to interview your friends, and now they're seeing a different side of them as well, right? Through your
exactly.
Because you're the media and you're controlling it to make sure it's not, you know, portraying them in the bad light, for sure.
Exactly. No. I'm definitely not doing gossip or anything like that. I want to know I want, you know, I'm focusing more on women, actually, and that's kind of where I where my blog, obviously, Glam. I don't know if a guy's going to want to go on Glam, but
you never know. You never know, Britt.
You never know, but it would be a little tricky, harder to get a guy to be talking about his Glam life. But yeah, I love, you know, I love motivating, and I love just motivational stories that I hear from my friends. And I love, you know, like I said, like a lot of people don't know how they got a certain way, or they, a lot of times they can clear it up. Like when, you know, people make rumors, and I could say, well, you know, here's an opportunity, come on, and we could talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's cool.
So name some people. We're going to talk about Kim in a second, but I want to know some of the other guests you've had on that you that are your friends that you've kind of put on your blog and have interviewed. Who have they been?
You know, I'm focusing really on makeup tutorials. That's kind of where I have my expertise is in doing that and teaching, you know, how to do makeup at home and how to get the red carpet look at home. And so I'm doing more celebrity makeup artists.
Okay.
More than, you know, I don't know if you would know, like, you know,
my wife's into a lot of the big YouTube ones that have really become hit sensations, you know, that she watches it all the time. It's like one of the most pop. I wonder how many views YouTube gets from all these. It's ridiculous.
That's what I'm focusing on, my YouTube channel, which is Ion Glam. And you know, that's where I'm focusing on the tutorials. I'm putting one up actually today. And it's really, really cool how, you know, you can do, like, you don't need to, if you actually spend time and you watch the tutorials, you don't need to, you know, go and get your makeup done worth thousands of dollars. You could actually do these, you know, looks at home.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I mean, really, it's become a huge popular thing because lots of women and girls want to know how to look like the stars, to look like the glamour, and to look $1 million. And they think, oh, you need to have a makeup artist. No, you can learn from the very best and, you know, provide different things. And I'm sure, Britt, you like the fact that, you know, different makeup, all these companies are contacting you to, you know, to endorse or different things, and you have the opportunity to really do something that you love, and that's that for sure. So the other thing of interviewing celebrities, it's more about the celebrity makeup artist then. I must have misunderstood that from your bio. You don't do that?
No, I do both. I interview celebrities as well, but right now, as of like, well, because I'm putting one up today. And so right now I'm doing, I go through periods of time where I either it's 1 week I'm going to do a celebrity, it's 1 week I'm going to do a tutorial on makeup. It's, you know, I just kind of go through whatever I'm feeling at the moment. And that's the great thing about having, you know, a blog and a YouTube channel, that I can, you know, decide like what's inspiring me. And right now, you know, the Oscars are coming up, and living in Los Angeles, it's all about like the red carpet and these events. And so I just went to the Grammys, and I did my Grammy look, and how you can get that look at home. So that's kind of what it's all depending on, like, you know, like I said, what's going on in Los Angeles and what inspires me. And so that is going up today.
And that's, again, what's hot and what people want to see. So you're really looking at a mainstream audience when it comes to women who want to look their very best. And that's, and especially when you talk about the red carpet and how to do that. And how long does it take for you to get makeup when a makeup artist does your makeup for like the Grammys or something? How long does that take usually?
You know, it all depends on, like, you know, if I'm doing a tutorial, it's obviously going to take longer. But, like, it probably takes, like, an hour to do hair and makeup, an hour and a half. And it's funny, I'm very, very, like, I get very antsy. And if it takes longer than that, I can't sit in the chair longer than that with hair and makeup. And I have really long, thick hair. It's all natural. And, which I know a lot of people have extensions, which is fine. But everyone always asks me, is that your real hair? And they, like, tried to go in the back of my hair and, like, steal from my extensions. But I'm like, no, it's real. So for me, it takes a little longer to do hair and makeup, and it's, you know, hair, 45 minutes, makeup, you know. Yeah, it takes like an hour and a half, but when I do the tutorials, I really want to teach, and it takes a lot of, you know, time to really, you know, I make sure that my viewers who are watching get to really see what's happening step by step.
That's great. That's fantastic. And I'm definitely going to make sure my wife checks out your channel for sure.
So
I'm going to let her know.
Paul Stylish is on.
Yeah, exactly. And so and be like the celebs for sure. Now, your relationship with Kim. Now, your friendship with her is basically you guys have like parallel lives in certain ways of growing up in with Kim with her late father and how high profile he was, and then going with Bruce Jenner and his mom, and then how the Kardashians have come together. Would you say that that's how your relationship started, your friendship with her, that you kind of had the kind of same stories in certain ways and different things that you've gone through in your lives and reality shows?
Yeah. You know, her and I, we met, I did a TV show for E called Cattle Drive, and I did it with her sister, Courtney. And I remember the first day Courtney was like, "You and my sister are going to be best friends." And I was like, "Wait, you and I are going to be best friends?" I was like, all offended. And so when Kim and I met, like, we instantly became we instantly, our personalities are very similar. And, you know, they're similar but different, obviously, because we're two different people. But, you know, we instantly became best friends from day one. So it's just kind of, you know, God, it's almost more than 10 years. So,
yeah.
Crazy.
So what, one thing that we don't know about Kim that you can share with us from your friendship or different things that would be interesting, especially not gossip, not gossip, but more like we've talked about ordinary, that we're all like in so many ways. What would
you
say?
The most organized person I've ever met in my whole entire life.
Really? Okay.
Oh, my God. Organized to a T. The most organized person.
And
even her handbag is organized.
And would you say you're like that in that way? You want to have order and organization and everything?
No, I am not as organized as her, and she drives her crazy. So when she looks inside my handbag, she has a heart attack. I'll just put receipts in, and you know, I'll just throw them in my purse, and she's like, "Oh my God, your bag gives me like you have to organize your handbag."
So what else is new with Britt? Tell us anything else new that we can talk so that our listeners can know and follow you and find out what else. You definitely check out your blog, but and videos.
Yep.
What else?
That's my passion. And I'm coming out with a clothing line, which hasn't been announced yet on where, but hopefully in the next 2 weeks I'm allowed to say, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm starting a dress line. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A super affordable dress line that, you know, every woman can just, you know, throw on from going to work to putting on a pair of heels to wearing at night, which I love. You know, I love glamour, I love dresses, and I just feel like that's the most, you know, versatile, you know, piece of clothing. If anyone said, you know, everyone says, like, oh, the you know, the little black dress, and, you know, but sometimes, like, it's boring, so... I'm going to offer a little spice it up where, you know, you don't need so much accessories to put on.
Well, fantastic. So where's the best place we can find information on you and learn more about you? Where can we go? I know you have your social media. Yeah.
You know, I on Glam, EYE, everyone's like EYE on glam.com. And then my Instagram is Britt Gastineau, and I do a lot of like I show like sneak peeks of my tutorials, and that's probably the best.
All right. Well, fantastic. And
thanks so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. I enjoyed the conversation. I wanted to really delve into especially life before the celebritydom and dealing with, you know, just the certain situations of growing up in a celebrity family. That was fantastic to understand and understand more about who you are and truly how down to earth you are. So I appreciate
you
coming on, and you're welcome to come on anytime. So just reach out to me and let me know. Okay.
I will. Make sure those parents, that you explain how important it is for those parents to keep their kids in check, because it's not the kids, it's the parents.
Okay, I will do that. You see, you think it's a lot of times that the kids are out of control because the parents are just not keeping everything going together.
Yes, of course.
That was a conversation on my education show last night, but I also believe that parents are being forced to be more helicopter parents because of technology. And the schools are expecting that and all that stuff. So, well, good talking to you and best of luck.
Nice talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network. Again, tolltutor.net for more information. Twitter, Toll Tutor. Neil S. Haley, Facebook. LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Toll Tutor, and Pinterest, Neil Haley. And you can check out Google Plus as well. And I tell you, I'm always excited to interview guests of my favorite shows. And I had somebody on from ABC's Resurrection, and now I'm going to have the author and creator on my show tomorrow. I'm excited about that. But another one of my favorite ABC shows, which the one I didn't think at first was going to be my favorite, but my wife and I DVR it all the time. We can't wait. And that's The Goldbergs, ABC's The Goldbergs, which it reminds me so much of the 80s. I love it. I mean, I don't know, and we try to figure out where in 1980, but I'm excited to have someone on the show, so I'm excited. Welcome to the program, Natalie Allen Lind. Natalie, how are you? Thanks for calling. And you are really really nice talking off air, and I'm excited to have you on the show today. So how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm always excited to interview people and talk to people, and I've had some amazing people, and I learned so much from them. So, Natalie, your whole life, did you want to be an actress? Is this something you wanted to do?
Yeah, my mom's an actor. My dad's always been in the industry. So when I was growing up, I was literally growing up on sets all the time. So I just kind of fell in love with acting, and I've been doing it ever since.
And it's grown to the point where you had, would you say that The Goldbergs was your big break? Meaning big break where now people recognize you a lot in different things. Would you say, or do you think before that there was something that you'd say, this is the one that kind of got me to where I am today? What would you say?
I mean, I definitely say for The Goldbergs a lot. I have a lot of fans who I love from Disney and Nickelodeon. I was on iCarly and Wizards of Waverly Place. So I have a lot of fans from there. But, I love all the Goldbergs fans, especially because they're all the diehard 80s fans. It's just much fun to just be able to talk to them. And, being on the Goldbergs has been so much fun, and I'm just so grateful.
Yeah, and hopefully your relationship continues to stay going. And so for our listeners out there who have not watched The Goldbergs, which I'm gonna have to be angry at you if you haven't, because it's the greatest show in the world and the funniest show. Now tell us about who you play on the show.
I play Dana Caldwell, which is Adam Goldberg's girlfriend. And Adam is the main character of the show. And the cool thing about our show is that Adam is actually a real person. This entire show is about his real family. So I play Dana Caldwell, and she's kind of like the girl next door. And to answer your question, yes, our relationship does continue, and our storylines just keep on getting funnier. And our relationship keeps on growing stronger, and I'm just really looking forward to the rest of season two.
And when you first got the read for the line and things like that, you didn't know if they were going to, what they were going to do with you, right? That's how it works in this business, right?
When I first got the script for just the audition, I loved the script so much, and I thought it was hilarious. And originally my character was just supposed to be a guest star, but then they saw that me and Sean were just such great friends on set that they kept on bringing me back. And, in the first script that I got, the first episode that I did, my character she was kind of unsure about Adam. And I think they just kind of grew as a couple throughout the episodes. But, in the beginning, I wasn't sure what I was getting into at all. But I'm so happy that it happened.
I mean, and just to describe Adam for our listeners that have not watched the show, meaning how he acts and things like that, and just how funny he is. It's funny.
On the show, he's kind of like the dorky character who he's the diehard movie fan. He's just kind of like the geek of the group. But he is just a super funny. His character is great, and it's so cool, especially because Adam is real, like I said. So watching Sean, who plays Adam on the show, it's really cool for him to be able to portray like a real person.
Yeah, definitely. And the creative side of him is amazing, the one that created the show. I mean, I'm sure so many people talk to you all the time and say, I can't believe what happened with so-and-so, or I can't believe this happened here or that or whatever. And you're like, really? Are you serious? And especially when the beginning of the show, when Pop Rocks or a different or something so hilarious that only 80s people will get. You know,
I know.
Go ahead.
It cracks me up because sometimes they put these hairstyles on me, or they give me this wardrobe that literally makes me just start laughing so hard because this stuff used to be very popular. And I'm just surprised that nobody was like, what are we wearing? But I guess it was in. So it's just kind of funny to look back and see all of our like fashion mistakes and all of our mess ups, I guess, in wardrobe. But it's a fun time. The 80s is such a fun time. And I think it really, it's just a lot of fun for the viewers to watch the show and kind of have those old feelings that they used to have.
Definitely. And you said because you recognize and stuff like that, people just start conversating about it. And what age group would you say, especially the 80s? I mean, the people that are truly diehards of the show. I know a lot of people enjoy it, especially with the ratings and stuff.
I think the big perk of our show is that it is a family show. So especially like my sister, I have a 7-year-old sister who is in love with the show. It's her favorite show. But then my grandma, who's like 80, she loves the show too. So I think there's no really age group for the show. I think everybody has just really been attracted to it, which has been so great.
Definitely. So from here, you see things going further and further. You continue to stay on the show, but do you have other projects going on as well, Natalie?
I do. I just finished a Universal movie. It's a scary movie that I just finished. That should be coming out soon. But yeah, I definitely am looking forward to hopefully we get picked up for season 3. I'm looking forward to the end of season 2. We have 3 more episodes to shoot of season 2. And then we have a little bit of break on this. So hopefully I can start looking for future projects to kind of start working on when we're on our break.
So describing that whole thing about L.A. and how it works and trying to do this is basically always trying to work and stay working. And once you have success, it's easier to get those casting calls, right? When people say, I recognize you. Oh, I'm on the Goldbergs right now. Oh, let's make sure we can talk to you. And that's the kind of doors that open the bigger roles you get, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's definitely how it works. And for the Goldbergs, it's just been so nice for me because so many of the people that I've met so many different people lately who have been such big fans of the show, and I think it's definitely so much fun to be on the show and have people recognize me from the show. I'm so grateful for that.
Absolutely. Now, kind of touching back, you talked about always wanting to be an actress. How did you kind of juggle all those things education-wise and stuff, especially when you said your family and acting and everything? How do they keep you, going with school and things like that? Kind of describe that for us.
I love school so much. I've always loved school. I love writing and reading. So I've been homeschooled I've pretty much been homeschooled through my entire school years. And I just keep on working through it. And I love school, so it's never been like an effort thing for me. I've just always been able to kind of like sit down and read a book and then do a paper on it on set. We have our breaks on set. So whenever we take breaks, I kind of go off and like do a math equation or write a paper. And school's always been a big part of trying to juggle it all together, but it definitely works out.
So what grade are you currently in? If you said you're being homeschooled, what are you right now?
I'm in 11th grade.
11th. Wow. I mean, thinking about specifically how difficult that is, I'm sure I've talked to people that do go to school and are not homeschooled. Did your family say this is the only way that it's going to be, that they can make this work? And it's a challenge being homeschooled, right? Because you have to set the bar high for yourself. So you're at least you're learning more or even more than what your peers were learning in the classroom, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've always been homeschooled, so I've never really known another way. But I definitely think that having one-on-one tutoring 24/7 is a little bit more difficult than a regular classroom when you don't have to deal with the other components, like just people talking So it's one-on-one. So I understand everything that I'm learning. I really understand it. So, it's never really been a problem for me, juggling it all. There's some times when I have to do homework on the weekends, but I'm totally fine with it because I love acting so much. And it's not really physically possible for me to be an actor and go to school at the same time because there's so much, I'm working pretty much 6-5 days a week, so it's not physically possible for me to go to school unless I'm missing every single day, which is not good.
Well, you're very impressive for an 11th grader. Trust me, you really are.
And thank you.
Mature beyond belief. And that just, again, sells homeschool to I have 5 kids of my own, Natalie, and it's definitely sells homeschool for me, saying, my wife, who's a teacher, come on, please homeschool so I can keep focusing on building my career and my businesses and different things like that. And then the kids can have the best opportunity. Because what I believe in homeschooling is that if you have the right people doing it, and especially your parents, you're going to have the greatest success because they're setting the bar high for you, saying, you know, we want you to go to college, but we know that you have a career and you can manage manage both of that. Do you think you're going to go ahead, Natalie?
Oh yeah. College has always been a big thing for me too. After I finished high school, I'm definitely going to start taking community college classes and, build up credits so that when I decide to go to high school, I'll have like a set goals already. So yeah, I mean, school's always been a big part of my life. So I'm definitely not picking acting over school, but it's good for homeschooling. Just so nice for me because I don't have to pick one over the other. It's a nice combination of both.
So are you planning right when you graduate from homeschool to go on to college, or you don't know? It depends on what happens.
You know what? I really don't have any set plans right now. After I finish high school, I'm going to start taking community college classes so that I can start building credits. But after that, I don't really have a set plan, which I don't really need right now. So depending on where I am in my future, I'm going to figure it out from there.
And you know you could easily do it because you could be able to juggle both acting and going to school at the same time. And that's fabulous in so many ways. And who is the one that is planning everything? Is your mom planning everything for homeschooling for you?
You know what? It's me and my mom, to be honest. I pretty much have to set, with homeschooling, a lot of it is based on the students, like making sure that they have a set plan for themselves, because if I'm not 100% involved in getting done with school, then it's just not going to work. So it's definitely me and my mom planning out all my schedules and making sure that I have the appropriate amount of time to get my work done.
Okay. So at this point, when you're at this age, you can make those decisions. You could start saying, I want to focus more on this. And as long as you meet the standards, then you're fine in so many ways. For sure.
Oh yeah, that's totally how it works. I know being homeschooled my entire life, I know what's good for me and what's not. Like, I know how much I can fit into my brain and how much I like have to take a little bit of a break. So yeah, I'm definitely a big part of planning my schedules.
All right. Well, fantastic. Where's the best place we can find you, Natalie? And I know you can't give us any teasers for the last 4 episodes or anything. What's going to happen with your character? So we have to tune into ABC, which I will be doing. As I tune in all the time on ABC. So just giving a heads up to ABC. I continue wanting to interview ABC stars. Just always that hint, hint, Natalie. But where can we also find information? Do you have a Twitter or Facebook or anything else where our listeners can follow you?
Yeah, I have a Twitter, which is Natalie Allen Lynn. So Natalie and then my middle name, Allen Lynn. And then Instagram is Natalie with 2 E's _ Lynn.
Well, awesome. And you know, on that Twitter, tweeting it out and keeping it going and being on the set and all the excitement, we can't wait to watch you and see how your character continues to develop and how many years, you never know, your role could get larger and larger because of the storylines and what happens. We all know in the different great sitcoms. But I'm so glad, as you talked about before, the family type atmosphere of the show. It's great to see that on broadcast TV. I think that that's what makes the Goldbergs so exciting is that and funny is that we still have we can sit down with everyone and watching it. And I think that that's finally great to see, especially the days I grew up of the Cosby Show and Family Ties and all these different things that finally we're going back to that. I hope. Let's hope. But
yeah, I mean, I think it's a good way for families to bond. Like me and my family, we love to sit down and watch TV together. And yeah, I'm really happy that our show has that component to it.
Well, Natalie, thanks for calling. I know you have a busy schedule as I am as well, and best of luck to you. And we'll hopefully talk soon when you have some more news for us. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Nice talking to you.
It was nice talking to you as well, Natalie. Take care. Okay. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And I love interviewing professional athletes. And sometimes it's harder to get baseball players on the show, even former ones, because the season is so much longer. And I guess my guest today, he'll be pretty busy very, very soon. And he'll have to tell me how soon, because the weather's starting to warm up a bit. We're hoping in Pittsburgh that it's going to be warmer very soon. And baseball season is soon here. People are starting and all those things. So I'm excited to welcome to the program former Major League star, Derek May. Derek, thanks for calling. And how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm actually happy to be on the show. I'm looking forward to warmer weather. That's for sure.
So you're heading there soon then, right? Or hopefully, right?
yeah. I'm actually going to be heading down there the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks I'll be down there, so I'm looking forward to it.
So I caught you just in time, Derek. See, that was the smart thing. I said, hey, we connected on Facebook, wanted to have you on the show. And so your whole life, did you want to be a Major League Baseball player? Was that a dream of yours?
It was funny. It's kind of like, my dad was obviously, my dad played, so and it was kind of like I was born into it, in a way. So I played it. So he played it. So I kind of got involved in it. I learned to, I actually enjoyed playing it. I loved playing it. I love playing other sports, but this is something that I that I love doing. And, everything that I did, it always came back to baseball. And any part of my family, any get together, it always involved baseball. So it was just part of who I was, and it's just part that, it just kind of was meant to be. And it just so happened I did. I was fortunate enough to play Major League Baseball and make a living out of it. And I was very fortunate and very blessed to do it.
So your father, did he have rules, especially when you're playing a few sports? I mean, you wanted to play all different sports to kind of hit the books while playing all the sports as well. Was education important in your family growing up and stuff for your father and family? Did they think?
Yeah. But and that's the thing is that my dad, my parents, we never really stressed baseball or any specific sport. I mean, it was just something that happened. We just loved playing any sport at any time. Baseball was kind of what my dad's job was, but we did it. But yeah, we did that. But yeah, books were definitely important. That was one of the things that I learned early on is that if you wanted to go to college and you wanted to have a career of anything, you had to take your schoolwork seriously. So yeah, that was pretty important.
And when your dad, he played professionally as well, Derek?
Yeah, he played Major League Baseball. He played for 12 years, and he played for the Orioles and Pirates, and he played for Milwaukee Brewers. He was also there, and he played for a number of years, and I got to be around the ballpark a lot. And got to see a lot and learn a lot, and I was very fortunate to be in that atmosphere.
Wow. Okay. So he played for the Pirates. When did he play for the Pirates for Pittsburgh? Yeah, that was audience. Yeah.
Yeah, that was back in 78 before they won the World Series. But it was he was got traded. It was for a brief period, so I actually got to meet Willie Stargell and Dave Parkers and all that stuff. So it was pretty neat.
So you learned pretty early, Derek, because of your dad being a professional athlete, how to manage everything, because he learned it in his whole time that, I'm traveling a lot. I got to manage family time. I got to be organized and everything to get things done, and that you learned from him in that process and being, put in the spotlight at times, going to the ballpark, doing these different things. It kept you focused and understanding of where you're going and headed because of living it with your father in a lot of ways, right?
I can't really say that. As a kid, you're oblivious to things, and people think you do, but you really are, because I know that you won't be around it. You can say that, but it's until you actually experience it, you really don't know. And it was, it's, I can remember, my dad going through it, but, until you actually do, it's just like, now I know what he was going through. It's like, now but it was, what was good, what was helpful is that you do have somebody that you can bounce something off of, or you can talk to about it. And that's what makes that experience so important, is that you do have that right person that you can, that sounding board that you can talk to.
Exactly. So Derek, because of the time we have, we could talk for hours in baseball, but we both have very, very busy schedules. I wanted to go into specifically your greatest moment as a professional baseball player. What would you say? What game, a certain season, what would you say?
The biggest moment for me was when I actually got called up to the big leagues. That was one of the biggest. I mean, that was probably the greatest moment. I mean, that was. And then once I got there, obviously I was playing in front of my home. Playing in front of my family. And then it was a number of things that that kind of built into it. I can't really put one thing. I mean, I think it was just a great experience, obviously. But to be in that situation. But that was, I mean, that's one of the things. I think looking back, it's like, when you look back at the hard work that you put in and everything that goes into becoming a major league player, and then you finally accomplish what you set out to do, and you get there, it's a fulfilling, it's a very fulfilling, accomplishment. It's a very fulfilling, memory.
Yeah, definitely. And what team would you consider your team? Do you have it with playing all these different teams? Do you have it? Who do you consider yourself? If you would say, what team would you put your? Would you say that team was the team I think of when I play? Is that a hard question?
Yeah, people remember me. People remember me with the Cubs. I mean, obviously that was my team that I came up with, and I've had probably the most time with, and so that's. Yeah, most people remember me playing there. I probably had the most success there than with Houston. So, the Cubs were my team, if that's what you could say.
Yeah, that's where I want to go to, is Chicago Cubs, especially one of our stations in Chicago. So that's good to talk about the Chicago Cubs and playing at Wrigley Field. So you started with the Cubs, and being able to grow up in that and play at the place where you grew up is amazing, to play at Wrigley, right? It's probably one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a great place, atmosphere, and also aesthetically, it's just a great place to look at. The fans were definitely great fans. It was kind of a up and down period for me, because I got there so young, and I was there for, you know, and it was, I had so much, they put so much, you know, pressure and stock on me. You know, everything, you know, everybody's, everything has to happen, you know, because you're a first-round pick, and obviously, and that's kind of the way it happened. But, you know, and so it kind of worked out where, you know, things happen, and it wasn't, didn't work out the way I hoped, but, you know, but I enjoyed my time there, and things, you know, it's, you know, they are what they are, but I definitely enjoyed playing in Chicago, that's for sure.
Did you play on a winning team that won a division or anything when you played, Derek?
No, we, you know, that's the thing, is like we were all, I think, you know, we had 1 year in 93, we did win, we finished over 500. We had some good players. Like I always said, we had good players, but it never translated into wins. We had, you know, if you look back, I mean, we had, you know, I played in teams where they had like Mark Grace and Ryan Sandberg and Andre Dawson and Greg Maddux. And these guys, you know, I got three Hall of Famers. You know, so it's like, you know, I got Andre Dawson and I got Greg Maddux. Those are Hall of Famers. And Ryan Sandberg. Those are three Hall of Famers right there. And we couldn't win. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, so it's one of those things that, you know, and then not to mention, you know, like I said, you know, Mark Grace he's a very good player. And I had Sammy Sosa at that time, too. He was there. So, I mean, we had very good players, but we just couldn't
get it going.
Couldn't do any, you know, we couldn't win for whatever reason. You know, obviously the jokes could go on and on, but.
Yes. So life after baseball, you decided you wanted to coach, right? Right when you retired, you wanted to be a coach.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of, you know, kind of like a pretty good, it was a good progression for me. I think I started thinking about it, and kind of, they say when you start thinking about it, you probably should probably retire. So I started, I actually played in Japan for a couple of years. So I, you know, my last year in Japan, I started thinking about it, and I kind of went right into it, probably about a year later. And yeah, I got right into it, and I just it was one of the most fulfilling things I've ever. I started doing it. It was almost like being a parent. You know, that's the kind of way I looked at it. It was giving something, you know, people, you know, basically, you know, giving more than yourself, because you know, you're basically giving to others. You know, and when you can teach and give a kid something, and he can actually take it and use it and do something with it. And, you know, it's just one of the most fulfilling things there is.
And I want to make sure I'm right on Wiki. You've coached for what organization since after you retired?
Yeah, St. Louis Cardinals. And that's who I've been with since 2005.
Wow. You went to a winner then.
Yeah.
So are you in the minor leagues with St. Louis?
I became a hitting coach in the minor leagues with them, and so then now I'm the hitting coordinator, which I am a hitting coordinator, so I'm in charge of the whole organization's hitting program, which is basically I'm like the manager, the hitting coach manager or manager of the whole basically kind of the development of our hitters. And basically I've been doing that for now. This is my fifth year, and you know, guys are, you know, hopefully they're getting better, and that's basically what I try to do every year. Hopefully they do. Hopefully I get better. Hopefully they get better. Hopefully we learn something every year.
So Derek, you basically go from from baseball team to the team and the organization as this hitting coach, where you're not with the main team all the time. You're kind of going and overseeing the entire organization. Is that how it works?
Absolutely. Yep. Every team has every team from AAA down, they have a hitting coach, but I kind of oversee all those hitting coaches. So I'll make sure I kind of hit all the hitting coaches and the hitters. And all the hitters there. So,
and what major stars of the Cardinals have you worked with? as a hitting coach?
Pretty much since 2005. I mean, if you can think about just about everybody who kind of came up to the organization, I probably worked with if you look at on the team now, you can look at the John Jays and the Alan Craigs and the Matt Adams who else are there? Matt Carpenters and Pete Cosmas and Colton Wong and all those guys.
So if they win a ring, do you get a ring if they win?
I've gotten three rings. I got them in 2006, 2011, and I got the National League, obviously the National League Championship ring.
Oh, we'll talk about that, Derek. The Pirate game. Oh my, that was an unbelievable series. and then the Pirates didn't get their shot. It went down to the last day, and maybe they would have had an opportunity to play St. Louis at one point in time. But it's interesting to look at the new rivalry of the Pirates and the Cardinals and see.
Yeah, they got good.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. And I know you guys are gonna be unbelievable again this year. And and so you went from not winning to winning as a coach. So. You got to say, hey, I am a great coach, and I can look at myself and say, hey, I've developed all these great hitters, and the Cardinals organization has one of the best minor league systems and constantly bringing great players. You know, they don't have to buy players. They bring them in just like the
Pirates.
Right. Yeah, that's develop it. So you're hoping for a good year again for the Cardinals, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of our things. We expect it, you know, and I think that's kind of what's kind of separates us. I think we expect it. You know, I think most people should, but I think we do. I mean, we expect it. And it's not it's not contrived or anything. That's what we expect. And I think guys really believe it.
All right. Well, Derek, I appreciate you calling. We're going to continue to stay connected on Facebook, but I'll have to watch out for you. And if you're out in the Pittsburgh area, let's have a cup of coffee or something and reach out to me when you're in Pittsburgh, and we can get together for sure when you're in town.
Yeah.
If I don't know if you are always traveling the major league team or wherever, but if you're in Pittsburgh, let's definitely have lunch or a cup of coffee or something. So where's the best place we can find information on you, Derek? Where can we go? Is there a place, or is it best to Facebook look you up on Facebook? What do you say?
At Facebook. I'm on Google. I'm on Google Plus too. You can follow on there too. So.
Well, I appreciate it. I definitely am going to. I'm glad I got in touch with you before everything gets busy for you and the Cardinals season. So best of luck in the season. Maybe we'll see the Pirates and the Cardinals in another race. I think it's going to happen. So.
Yeah, it is. It should be a good one. That's for sure.
It definitely will. So good talking to you, Derek.
Thank you.
All right, take care, bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.